For the past number of weeks, we've been going through a sermon series called Breaking Ground. And in a few weeks, we're coming upon Easter, a time when a lot of people all around the world gather together in churches to hear the gospel, to hear what Jesus Christ has done for us. But this is kind of an interesting year because churches all around the world will not be able to gather in the church building. But one thing that I'm thankful for is that online I hear a lot of my friends reminding everyone that the church was never supposed to be defined by the building, but the church is the gathering of people. And even for us today, even though we're not able to gather together in this church building, some of us are here, but most of us were gathering together online, and it's just wonderful how God has created a way, has created creativity, has God has given us ways of advancing in technology, and so we have this ability to be able to gather online together. And so we're looking forward to Easter. We'll still be having our service on Easter Sunday. And just to let you guys know that the leadership is still thinking through and still praying through whether or not we're going to continue our services online next week, or I should say whether or not we're going to be gathering together again here in this church building next week, or whether we will have our doors closed and we will continue our online services. So please look out for announcements about that on our line group, in our line group, and also maybe on our website. All right? But we have been going through this series where people are having to decide now whether they want to believe in Jesus Christ or not, whether they are going to really trust all the things that Jesus says, or they're going to trust the other voices that are out there, the Pharisees. And we see this growing divide between the Pharisees and Jesus. And so even for ourselves, as we listen to this sermon today, I want to ask you guys to be really thinking through this idea of, do I really trust Jesus in all the things that he's already said and done? Do I really trust him? And so today we're going to continue in this series. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. If you have your Bibles, please open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, or you can look on the screen, and it's right there for us. So I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. This is the reading of God's word. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Amen. Real quick, I'm wondering if there's anyone here in our room right now that has the Facebook on, the video. If you do, I want to ask you to turn it off. I don't know if that's what's causing some of the feedback here. All right? Except for you. Yeah. Great. Well, I want to start off with a question. Have you ever been so distracted by something that you just couldn't focus on the task at hand? Have you ever been so distracted by something that you just couldn't focus? Maybe some of you guys have experienced this. I know that I have when it gets to around lunchtime and I'm feeling really hungry and this is what's on my mind constantly. And I order something on Food Panda or Uber Eats, and I'm just waiting for it to come, but I don't know when it's going to be done, when it's going to arrive. And so I just keep looking at my phone to see where the driver is at. And I can't focus on what I'm trying to do at the moment. Right? Maybe some of you guys have experienced something like that. Or maybe for some of you guys have experienced where you first find out that someone likes you. And you start daydreaming about that person, and you think about what it might be like to some people that are here are kind of like pointing to each other. You might start daydreaming about what it might be like to be with that person, or you start thinking about like, oh, should I call that person or not? What should I do right now? I feel nervous. Or wait, nobody calls these days. Should I message that person or not? And you're just so, like, it's just consuming your mind that you don't know what to, you're not able to focus on what you need to do in the moment. Maybe it's some of those kind of silly things, or maybe it's something that's scary that's on your mind, or maybe it's something that's really sad that's happened in your life, and it's just constantly on your mind, and you're worrying about it, or you're nervous about it, and you're not able to focus. Like maybe for some of us in our workplaces, we face some type of criticism, maybe from our bosses, or maybe you get into an argument with someone, maybe with a coworker, or maybe with a fellow student or your roommate. Maybe you get into an argument with someone, and that's just what's consuming your mind. Or maybe there's some kind of virus that's going on around the world, and you're just constantly looking at the news, and you're not able to focus. I don't know if you guys have ever gone through something like this. But when we do, when we face these kinds of situations, usually it starts off as this little thought or this small comment. It starts off as this little thing, and it comes into your mind, and it begins to spread. And then it becomes something that may overtake you. And it becomes something that just consumes you, and you're just thinking about it all the time. Now, I want to be clear. There are things that we could be, that are consuming us, that we're thinking about all the time, and they may be good things. They may be good things, but then today we're not talking about those good things that consume us, like, oh, I really have this good idea for my job, or I have this really good idea for my business. I'm not talking about those things, but I'm talking about those things that start to cause us to worry and to become nervous, those things that cause us to be fearful, those things that cause us to have these negative emotions, and it just consumes us. And maybe some of those things are actually lies that consume us. And it spreads in our minds, it spreads in our hearts. So the big question today is, how do we combat that? How do we deal with these situations where we're just overwhelmed by these thoughts? And so the main point of today, the main idea is, beware of the leaven. We're going to talk about what that actually means. The title for today is The Bread Problem. And I tried my best to come up with the 3 points that has to do with, something to do with bread, okay? So beware of the leaven. And the way that we're going to be talking about it is, number one, spread. Number two, cut. And number three, prepared, all right? So beware of the leaven is the main idea, and the first one is spread. And by the way, what I mean is not spread, like spreading jam or peanut butter on the bread. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is like spreading, like the yeast that spreads or the leaven that spreads. Spread, cut, and prepared. All right? So number one, spread. Let's look at verse 5. It says, when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. So this part of the narrative starts off telling us that the disciples forgot to bring bread. Now, why is this important? Well, if we remember in the past weeks, maybe past few months, we read about how Jesus appeared. Well, he was with a crowd of 5,000 plus people, and most of them were probably of Jewish descent, and he fed the 5,000. But during that time, Jesus, the disciples come to Jesus and they ask Jesus, what are we going to do with these people? And Jesus tells them, you feed them. And then there was another episode where Jesus is with 4,000 people, and it seems like these 4,000 people are the Gentiles, and 4,000 plus, and then Jesus says, I have compassion for these people. What are we going to do about these people that haven't had anything to eat? They've been with us for 3 days. What are we going to do with these people? And the disciples, they didn't know again how they were going to feed so many people. And so maybe the disciples had something in their mind of, what are we going to do if Jesus asks us again? What are we going to do if there are this crowd again? What are we going to do? And so it mentions right from the beginning, the disciples, they forgot to bring bread. And maybe the disciples were kind of struggling with, what if Jesus brings a charge against us again? Or what if someone brings some type of charge against us, and we begin we have to think through this problem again? Like, what if we run into 3,000 people? Or what if we run into another 10,000 people? How are we going to feed so many people if this happens again? And so we go into the story. In verse 6, it says, Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, I want to first of all start off by talking about what leaven is, right? So leaven is supposed to be a piece of last week's dough that already has the yeast in it. And so what they used to do was, you know, they didn't necessarily have yeast readily available. And so they would get this leaven, a piece of bread that already had the yeast in it, and they would add it to today's batch of dough, and they would mix it in, and the yeast in that little leaven would begin to spread all throughout that batch of dough. Now, normally it's a good thing for the leaven to be there because they want the bread to rise. They want, that's what the bread needs to be able to do that. But in some cases, for the Jewish people, they left the yeast out. They left the leaven out. They wanted to keep it separate from this day's batch of dough because they used such bread for certain ceremonies, for special occasions. So, for example, you know, in a few weeks, like I said, we're going to be coming upon Easter, and right before Easter is Good Friday, and Good Friday is the time, right around the time where the Jews would celebrate Passover. And a lot of people today will also celebrate Passover. So during the time of Passover, God told them in the Old Testament to not use yeast, to separate that out. And to have this bread that might turn into this, it's almost like a cracker type of thing. And they would eat that and remember how God did his mighty work during the time of the Exodus. Now, the leaven was supposed to be left out. This bread was supposed to be something special, something that's different from the bread that you normally eat. And so in a sense, what they were doing was they would separate that out. Another way of saying that was they would make this particular batch of dough holy, or they would consecrate it. And that's what it means to make this bread something special or holy. Now, that's important for today because if they got a little bit of that leaven that fell into that batch of dough, then it would begin to spread all over and it wouldn't be considered holy anymore. It wouldn't be considered something that's used, that's usable for a special occasion. Now, Jesus says to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now again, it starts off as a little thing, but it begins to spread, and it causes this thing to become unholy or to become unclean. And so we know if we skip down to verse 12, we know that it says that the disciples eventually realized that what Jesus was talking about was not about bread. It says in verse 12, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so it's kind of like Jesus is saying, look, if you listen just a little bit of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, then that idea can begin to spread in your mind and it can overtake you. And so beware of that idea. It's kind of like some of you guys have watched the movie Inception. And you know how they try to go deeper and deeper into the dream and they want to plant an idea in there. And then they come out and then eventually that will start spreading all throughout the person's subconscious. And then so that eventually they'll start thinking in that way. And they'll make a decision according to that. It's kind of like that idea. Sometimes there are these thoughts that come into our minds, like maybe the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and we begin to think in that way because that idea has grown and it began to spread in our minds. Now, I want to show you this next slide where I just kind of just summarize some of the teachings of the Pharisees, where the teachings of the Pharisees are highlighted. I'm not going to go through it all, but just take a quick glance. Matthew 9, eating with sinners. The Pharisees come up and ask, why does Jesus eat with the tax collectors and the sinners? And so they have this teaching that you shouldn't be doing that. Or Matthew 12, preparing food on the Sabbath. You shouldn't be doing any kind of work, not even preparing food, not even picking any grain. You shouldn't be doing that. Matthew 15, washing hands before eating. If you don't wash your hands, then you're gonna make yourself unclean. So you should be washing your hands before and after every meal. You should be washing your hands all the time. Matthew chapter 19, divorce. It should be okay to divorce. If you don't allow us to divorce, then how can anyone live? So, Jesus, what's your thoughts about divorce? And then Matthew 22, what about paying taxes? What do you think about that, Jesus? And they ask all these questions to Jesus, and even though they're asking it in a form of a question, it's like they're planting these little seeds into people's minds saying, yeah, maybe what Jesus taught is not quite correct. Now, Jesus tells the disciples, beware of this leaven. Now, what's interesting is if we look at verse 7, it says, and they began discussing it among themselves, saying, and this is the disciples, what they're saying. The disciples said, we brought no bread. We brought no bread. Okay, now this is kind of funny if you think about it. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Watch and beware. Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Okay, there's like 11 words there, right? All they heard was leaven. All they heard was leaven, and they began discussing it among themselves, and they began thinking, oh my goodness, we didn't bring bread, we forgot it. What happened here? Well, if you think about it, perhaps with the disciples, they also had this little thought, maybe next time we need to be prepared. Maybe next time Jesus asks us to feed the 5,000, we need to make sure we have bread. And this idea started expanding in their minds. And then as soon as Jesus has this long sentence with the words Pharisees and Sadducees in there, all they hear is the word leaven. And they're like, oh my goodness, we didn't bring bread. It's not just the teachings of the Pharisees that began to spread through people's minds, but even the disciples themselves, they have this tendency to think about this little thing and it'll just grow and they're not able to focus on what Jesus is actually teaching because they're focused on this other thing and it just spread throughout their mind. What about us? Does this happen to us sometimes? Perhaps when you have gone through some type of difficult circumstance or there's some type of news out there that's just really unsettling or you get some news from back at home about something that's difficult that's going on Or just think about a time where you've been feeling really anxious about something, or think about a time when you're really fearful about something. And think back. Where did that start? Why did you begin to feel that anxiousness? Why did you begin to feel that fear? Why did you begin to feel so nervous and begin to worry, and it starts to consume you so much that you're not able to focus on the task at hand? What did it start with? What was the idea that started this feeling? Well, I know that I've faced a lot of these types of situations in my past. And for me personally, I've shared about this multiple times in the past. But for me, one of the things that I really think about that really begins to consume me at times is how people think about me. And this idea starts off with this small idea of, I want to be a good pastor. And for some of you, it might be, I want to be a good student. I want to be a good worker. I want to be a good boss. I want to have a successful business. I want to be a good child to my parents. Or I want to be a good parent. Some of us, we have these kinds of thoughts. For me, it started with, I want to be a good pastor. And then that led into me thinking about, is my preaching okay? What I'm doing in terms of decisions and the things that I do on a weekly basis when I meet up with people, the words that I say, am I doing these things okay? Are they good? And then as soon as a thought comes to mind where I just hear something and it sounds something like a criticism, then that begins to come into my mind and I think, oh no, what if? What if I'm not being a good pastor? Oh no, what if I messed up that person? Or oh no, what if what happens next is not according to God's ways and people are just teaching heresy because of what I'm teaching, you know? And this thought just begins to grow and grow and grow, and that turns into maybe I shouldn't be a pastor, or maybe I should just leave Taiwan, and it just begins to grow and grow, and it just consumes my mind, and this goes on for a number of days. And sometimes, for some of us, it could go on for weeks or months or even years. And it's just something that continues to consume us. And for me, as I think about that, I think, like, even though this idea of I want to be a good pastor is not necessarily a bad thing, but this idea of I want to be a good pastor turned into, because of my own heart, because of my sinfulness, it turned into I want people to accept me. Or it turned into I want to be successful at being a good pastor. And then that's what started, but if I'm not, what happens? How do I control this situation so that I can be a good pastor? And that's where it begins to consume me, because I don't know how to change this situation. What about you? Maybe for some of us here, it's a good idea. I want to be a good worker. I want to be a good boss, I want to be a good student, I want to be a good child, I want to be a good parent, but then that changes into something else. I want to be successful, or I want to be comfortable, or I want to be approved. I want to be accepted by people. And because of that, it changes into something else. And when things don't go the way that you're hoping, I want to have a comfortable life. I don't want any trouble in my life. And when things don't go in that direction, we begin to change that into, how do I make this happen? How do I make sure that things become into a situation that I'm comfortable with, that I'm okay with? Well, what Jesus does at this point, in verse 8, he says, But Jesus, aware of this, said, O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive, do you not remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000, for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? With these words, what Jesus begins to do is he begins to cut, and this is our second point. He begins to do surgery into the hearts of his disciples, and he begins to dig deep and find that source of where it began. And the first thing that he says is, "O you of little faith," or the way that the Greek says it, the original language, it says, "You, hey, little faith ones, ones that have little faith." And so it's really interesting because Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, how come you guys have so little understanding? Like, oh, you little people, or you people of little understanding." You know, he doesn't say that. He says, "Oh, you of little faith." And he gets right to the core and he says, look, even this issue, your response of, it's because we didn't bring any bread. Even that response, the way that you're reacting, that is coming from a lack of faith. The reason why you're anxious and you're nervous and it's consuming you is because the source is your lack of faith. And how does Jesus deal with the situation? How does Jesus do this heart surgery? He not only points it out, but he begins to remind his disciples, remember how I did these wonderful works in your lives. Remember how I did these amazing things in your life in the past. I'm the same God that did that amazing work. I'm the same God today. Remember how I did this miracle and I gave the bread to you. You had the bread in your hands to pass out to the other people. Remember how I enabled you to feed the 5,000 and to feed the 4,000, to feed the Jews and to feed the Gentiles. Remember this amazing work that I did through you. Remember what I did in you. And so Jesus calls us to beware of the leaven that may spread. And the way to do that is to remember who Jesus is. To remember all the things that he's done. This is what we talked about last week. But today I just want to emphasize, remember the things that God has done in your life. Remember the testimonies of your life. Remember all those experiences that God has brought you through. Remember that God is a powerful God that is working in your life even today. That he does love you. That he is a great God. But he does care for you enough to work personally in your life. Now some of us, we may hear that and we may think, I hear you, but it's still hard. And when I'm in the moment, it's difficult for me to remember. And I hear you because it is hard. It is difficult. Perhaps the reason why when we're in those moments, it's difficult to remember God is because we've placed a lot of our hope in the thing that we're hoping for. There's this outcome that we're looking for, and we're placing our hope in that. And when things don't go the way that we're hoping, that's where it causes us to want to take control of that situation and say, if only I can do this or that, then maybe the situation will be better. I mean, an easy example is with the coronavirus. We're wanting to avoid this coronavirus spreading. And yes, it's important for us to take certain measures, to wear masks if we're in a crowded place. Make sure you practice distancing yourselves from other people. Yes, you can practice these things, but then when you are trying all of these things, but you still feel all that fear and nervousness, and you're just wondering if this is going to work out or not, and you're thinking, if I can only do these things to to control the situation, things would become better. But it's not, and the news keeps coming out, and it just causes us to be nervous because we don't have that kind of control. And so because we place so much of our focus and our efforts and our hopes in these things, it becomes difficult for us to remember the Lord. And we begin to say things like, even though I know all of these truths, there's this really loud noise come in from outside. There's a, I guess they're having a parade. Is this going to go on for a long time? Okay, so we'll do our best. We'll do our best. Just think of this as background music. I don't know. So a lot of times we will fail. We will fail to remember the Lord. We will fail to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. But this is the amazing thing. Even though we fail, even though we many times forget the Lord, that's exactly when God steps in and he says, I know that you will fail. And that's why I will come and intervene on your behalf. And so this is what it says in Ezekiel 34. This is one of the promises that God gave. If we could look it up on the screen. It says in Ezekiel 34, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat, and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Jesus says to his disciples, how is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? If you're still worrying about bread, don't you remember how I fed you? I fed you. And that's not it. That's not the only thing. Jesus says, remember. And this is found in the book of John. I am the bread of life. I came down from heaven. I'm the one that is able to feed you completely, satisfy you. You don't have to worry about bread anymore. I will feed you completely. You will be satisfied. Remember the 5,000 plus people? Remember the 4,000 plus people? We only started with a little bit of bread, but they were satisfied. All of them were satisfied. I have come to bring you the satisfaction that you're looking for. And the way that it happened was that our Lord Jesus was cut up. He himself was destroyed. He became the leaven. He took the leaven from us and he became the leavened bread of life. And he was cut up, he was bruised, and he was crucified for our faithless ways, for our sin. And because he was broken, like the bread that was broken to feed the 5,000 and the 4,000. We are able to be satisfied in Him if we look to Him. And so what that means for us is that if you look to Jesus, if you trust in Jesus, you will be able to fight against those little thoughts that start and spread and consume you. If you look to Jesus, even though those thoughts may come and spread and consume you and you fall into that sin again, He's able to take all of that out and take that leaven away and make you into a consecrated, holy bread, a holy person, a person that is loved and chosen by God, because He took that away. Another way of saying that is He took all of our unrighteousness and He put His righteousness on us. So again, when you are faced with those difficult thoughts, those situations, and those thoughts come in and they begin to spread, as soon as you catch yourself, and I believe you can, not just that. What I'm saying is because God has sent His Holy Spirit, and I trust that the Holy Spirit, in those moments when you face difficulties and those thoughts begin to spread, there will be a moment where the Holy Spirit will come and will remind you, hey, stop for a moment. Think through this a bit. There will be that kind of moment. And so when that moment comes, turn to Jesus. Remember His promises. Remember that He's the one that can satisfy you. He's the one that can protect you. He's the one that is able to be there for you no matter what happens, so that you don't have to fear. You don't have to be nervous or afraid. You don't have to worry. Turn to Jesus. He will satisfy you. Just as I shared before, I've struggled with this thought of, I want to be a good pastor, and when certain thoughts come and they start spreading in my mind, there were moments where I did catch myself. Sometimes it was after a few seconds I caught myself. And sometimes it took 3 days. I'm not saying you're going to catch yourself right away, but there will be a time when you do catch yourself. And I've begun to really apply the gospel and speak the gospel to myself. And when I catch myself, I say, no, like, all of these things that I'm looking for, I know that those things that I'm trying to put my hope in, they won't satisfy me. But Jesus, I believe You will satisfy me. And I began to speak that into my heart and let that spread throughout my heart and my mind and all throughout my body. I let that idea spread in me. And so I'll tell you, this has been something that I've been really trying to practice for since I started here. And the more I practice this, the easier and easier it becomes, because I'm able to catch when those thoughts begin to grow and spread, and I'm able to beware of the leaven even more easily. And so I encourage you guys to keep practicing this, to keep looking to the Lord Jesus. And here's some practical ways to do that. One way to really begin to fight against this leaven that comes is to make it a habit of remembering what Christ has done in your life. Remembering the experiences and the ways that God has worked in your life. And one way of doing that is by journaling. I don't know if you guys journal or not, but then what I do in my journal is I try to write down my prayers. I write down just some experiences that I go through, and when God has blessed me, I write that down and write about how God has blessed me during that time. And I'll forget about those incidences, but then every once in a while I'll go back and read my journal, and I'll remember what happened. And again, as I remember it and as I read it, I begin to praise God again for what He did in my life during that time. And so journaling is a good way to remember. Another good way to remember is by sharing what God has done in your life. And so this is the basic idea of sharing your testimony, not just about how you became a believer, but every day how God is working in your life. And so say God has blessed you in a certain way. go and share that with people. And go and share with people, like, God has really blessed me these days in this particular way. And the more you share about it, the more you share with one person, maybe two people, and then you begin to share with a bunch of different people, that automatically turns into a type of evangelism. It's just amazing how that turns out that way. But by sharing, it helps us to remember how God has worked in our lives. And so one very, very practical thing is, whether it be online right now, through your friend, or just connecting with some friends, or whether it be right after service, we have a meeting online together just for fellowship, and in that small group, whether it be during those times, whenever you see other brothers and sisters in Christ, ask the question, what has God been teaching you through His Word lately? Or what has God been doing in your life lately? Just ask each other that and help each other to begin to share about what God has been doing and remember so that we can beware of the leaven. Let's pray together. I want to ask the worship team to come up and just take a moment to pray about whatever the Lord has placed on your heart today. It may be about something that you really are dealing with these days, and it's just this thought that has spread and it's just consuming you. And if there is something like that, then maybe you might want to ask the Lord to help you to remember all the ways that God has blessed you, all the ways that God has worked in you. Maybe you could begin thanking God for all of those things. Maybe you can pray a prayer of confession to say that you've put your hope in other things and not in the Lord, and you've forgotten about how Jesus can really satisfy you. Whatever your prayer is, take some time to pray. And we'll sing a song, and then I'll close us in prayer.